welcome our listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to talk to you or engage you in conversation over firearm selection, any training concerns you might have, picking the right gun that's for you, whatever the case might be. Give us a call, stop down at the range, or send us a note on the web, and we'll be glad to help you out. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and I just want to let our listeners know that we have our concealed carry class coming up this week. It's our Monday through Thursday evening session that runs from 5:30 to 9:30 each night. The cost for that class is $150, and anybody that registers today or tomorrow and says they heard about it on the radio will take $25 off that price, and it'll be $125. We'll be more than glad to have you there. For those of you out there that may have already had your or already possess your concealed holder's license, you may want to come to the legal update. The legal update will be offered on Wednesday evening. That's this Wednesday evening, the 17th. And the advantage to that is many of the classes don't have any specific legal education presented in them, but we have an attorney that comes in for 4 hours, and he'll talk about both the criminal and civil issues related to owning, possessing, carrying, and potentially using a firearm. In addition to that, a highlight to the recent classes beginning last session and progressing on through September is he will give you an update on the pending legislation changes that take effect September 30th that will obviously have major advantages for a lot of gun handling individuals, or a lot of people with concealed holder's license, in that you'll be able to carry your firearm into restaurants if they do not have it posted, if they're in a liquor permit premises. Also, you will be able to the limitations or restrictions on how you're going to carry in a car are pretty much reduced, and it's not going to be specific ways in which you can handle the firearm or carry the firearm in the car. So it would be an opportunity for people to come and hear that legal update, and that costs $49, and that's, again, on Wednesday evening from 5:30 to 9:30. And if you are so inclined, please take advantage of that, calling down the range, send us a note on the web, or stop by the range and let us know that you're interested in the entire class or just the legal update. We also have our basic handgun safety and familiarization class coming up next weekend. And as we've mentioned several times on the show, the advantage to that course is we lay out about 8 or 10 of the most popular semi-automatic pistols, and we let you go stall to stall and shoot the different guns and find the one that you like, and then you'll spend the second half of the class fine-tuning shooting with that particular gun, getting familiar with it so that you can make a more informed decision when it comes time to purchase. And there's a lot of the guns out there that are good, but they may not just be right for you, and this is a great opportunity. I don't know too many people that give you the opportunity to shoot multiple guns and try the one that's right for you, but that's what we found to be very successful, because very early on, and it's quite interesting that when people go through that class, they maybe come with some preconceived notions about the gun they thought they want, and they leave there with something totally different, which is fine. And the nice thing about that is if they would have gone with their preconceived notion, maybe they saw a gun in a gun store, handled it, never fired it, never dealt with how it operates, and then they purchased it, then the first time they get out on the range and shoot it, they realize, wow, this isn't for me. They've already made the purchase. They've already shot the gun. It's now a used gun. Now they're going to have to go back through the process of trading that gun in for something that might be more accommodating. But our basic handgun class will give you the opportunity to do that. We also provide you with the opportunity to pick out the gun that's right for you by taking advantage of our Try It Before You Buy It program. You simply come down to the range for $10, cost of the gun rental, and the price of a box of ammo, which is anywhere from $15 to $17 a box. You can go ahead and shoot the gun that you think you want to buy. And if you want to compare it specifically to another gun, we don't really care about that. We'll just let you compare the two guns together for the same $10 rental fee for the one gun, and then you can make a more informed decision. So if you don't want to go through the whole class, the basic handgun class is, like I said, it's offered next Saturday evening from 4 to 8. It's 4 hours long. The Try It Before You Buy It typically takes between 20 and 30 minutes, and if you don't have the time to spend or you don't want to take the time, then at least give the Try It Before You Buy It an opportunity to,
and
to
it,
do.
It really gives folks who've already narrowed down their selection. They've already done some research. They know what guns they're kind of interested in. So if you're in that condition, if you have a pretty good idea what you're looking for and you're just trying to figure out, do I want this one or that one, the Try It Before You Buy It's a great way to do that.
And we're very happy about the Try It Before You Buy It program, and I know a lot of places, a lot of businesses out there have similar concepts with their products, and I noticed that Springfield Armory just on the 19th of this month is launching a program that they're calling Test Drive the Gun of Your Choice, and it's going to go for 10 days, and what they want you to do is go to select ranges, and we are fortunate to be one of the 50 primary ranges throughout the country where you're going to go and, quote, test drive, unquote, one of the guns. It's essentially our Try It Before You Buy It program, but, you know, we're going to let Springfield Armory feel good about the thing they're doing. We'll, for during that period, we'll call the ones when they rent the Springfields, it will in fact be the test drive period.
Yeah.
And they've got a pretty a nice package coming for anybody that is interested in test driving, test firing Springfield XD or XDM guns. They're going to send a bunch of t-shirts and some goodies that you're going to get for participating in that. So be paying attention and visit their website if you have the opportunity to. And if not, make sure between the 19th and 29th of this month, if you come down to the range and just tell them you want to test drive one of the Springfield lines of firearms, whether the XD or the XDM variations, whether it's a full size, medium size, or a compact concealed carry type firearm, you'll have the opportunity to do that. And we just recently got in their new 5.25 competition level gun, which is a lot of fun to shoot, and
that's full size plus.
That's
it's
exactly
a great
right.
Gun.
Yeah, it's a wonderful gun to shoot. It has a fluted slide, so that it dissipates the energy, and it gives a very good gives you a great opportunity to come back on target for successive multiple shots. And again, that's more a competition gun, but it's fun to shoot. And the other lines that you might be thinking, the XDM is just basically their enhanced XDs with a few bells and whistles to it, but very good shooting gun. The major, I will tell you right now, the major attraction to the Springfield line is their trigger. They have a wonderfully smooth trigger that has a very clear break. You take the slack out, it's very clear, it's very distinct, and it gives you an opportunity to make an accurate shot consistently and repeatedly, shot after shot after shot. So take advantage of those programs. Come on down to the range. We'd be more than glad to help you out. If you want to get on the air today, be sure to give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'll be glad to discuss any of your concerns, any issues that might be of concern to you. I just want to say that over the last couple weeks, I think it's pretty interesting, and it doesn't really surprise me that there hasn't been a whole lot of newsworthy material crossing the wires and in newspapers and on the blogs, and I think that's a good thing. The anti-gunners in particular are, as we've said before, they're struggling to come up with material. Now, they always find ways, I have to say that. And there's an interesting little article. I think it was a preview of a book an individual wrote that Buckeye Firearms Association kind of highlighted on their website this past week, that it's kind of exposing the myths and the lies behind the anti-gunners' approach to their whole methodology for trying to convince people that guns are bad. Mark, did you happen to see that on their website?
Yeah.
And what they're doing there, again, they rely on rhetoric. They rely on false truths, inaccurate information, and the hype. And quite frankly, one of the things they rely on, and I want to caution our listeners about this, is they rely on the dramatic presentation of their arguments in the media. And as a result of it being said in the media without any consideration of the source, many people take it as fact. And then it gets distributed to, you know, someone sees it, and like so often happens, they send it to their friend and an attachment to an email. Hey, did you see this? Look at what's going on. And people take it as truth without giving any credence to the source, and whether it was the situation in Mexico or the mayors against gun violence or the crime statistics, the violent crime statistics indicating what we know to be true. There's been significant and consistent drops in violent crime around the country. The anti-gun people take specific incidents and like to promote their agenda based on the facts and circumstances surrounding that specific incident. And you just have to be cautious to pay attention to what you're listening to or what you're reading and look for the sources and then really analyze. And the classic example that happened recently was the incident in Canton. All the facts weren't known. Lots of people rushed to judgment, and there's lots of emotional chatter going on across the wires. And I have to say that the circumstances surrounding that incident are being handled the way they're supposed to be handled. Right now, there's an ongoing internal affairs investigation addressing those issues. I'm sure that the defendant's attorney is looking into matters that he's concerned about. And, of course, the Buckeye Firearms Association and the Ohioans for Concealed Carry are doing the things that they're supposed to be doing behind the scenes. And ultimately, the facts are going to come out, and there's going to be some decisions made, and it'll be laid out, and we'll be educated, and it will be a learning experience for all of us. And I'm proud to say that over the last 2 weeks, there hasn't been a whole lot of chatter one way or the other about that incident, and I think that's a good thing. Let's let things play out, and let's just let it take its course, and let's learn from it, and let's get done what we need to get done. And I think that's continuing with the momentum to move forward on changes to the Ohio concealed carry law. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I think it's very obvious, we've made significant progress over the last 7 years. I know Mark and I have talked on several occasions. You think where we were in 2003, we had nothing. And in 2004, we had something. We didn't like some of the provisions. And very quickly, within 2 years, some major modifications were made. Within 2 or 3 years more, some more modifications were made. And just in the last year, and leading up to the September 30th of this year, there have been some significant changes made to this concealed carry law in favor of the concealed light holder. So that it makes it easier and more reasonable and more realistic and practical for them to carry their gun to provide themselves with self-defense.
I think that's something really important to think about in terms of how laws often go. Most of the time, or at least many times, the laws increase the restrictions and decrease the amount of liberty that individuals have. And we have turned this around, at least in Ohio, in the concealed carry area. We have every change to the law that we've had since 2004, when the original concealed carry law went into effect, has been an improvement that has increased the liberty, has increased the ability of people to do what they need to do when and be prepared to do that when they need to do that. So that's a good thing. We should not give up on this. We should not just, you know, let rest on our laurels and let things slide, because there's still a large group of people out there who think that guns are evil and that the best thing we can do is just take them out of the hands of everybody, except maybe the military and the police, and we're not too sure about those guys.
Well, speaking of military and police, the Dayton Police Department ran into a very unfortunate incident downtown Dayton the other day where a mixed martial artist was out of control and resisted arrest when he was confronted by police officers in a legitimate situation. And even the police officers were in a bad way because they had a highly skilled individual who was ready, willing, and capable to do damage. And I don't know all the facts there, and we'll wait to see how that incident plays out. But there's an example where even the police get faced with situations that are difficult. Now, you put yourself as a citizen. You could have just as easily been the citizen that got confronted with that sort of situation, and it could have been just as problematic.
We're going to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike, who's waiting for us on the line. And we'll take your calls at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and with Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. And as promised, let's go out to the phones and talk to Mike, who's calling from Miami Township. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Jeff, how are you today?
We can just barely hear you.
Okay.
There, that's a little better.
Okay. Hey, I had a question. My wife has got a XP subcompact that she really likes. She's got her concealed carry, but because of the way she dresses, we haven't found a holster that works for it. We do have she does have a concealed carry purse, but that's turned out to be somewhat problematic too. And, what we were thinking is, maybe something different for, something smaller in a single stack. And, I just wondered if you guys had any ideas. I mean, we've kind of been looking at the car PM9, CM9, wondered what you thought.
Well, I will tell you that the entire car series are good, but you're not going to really solve your problem of the width of the gun a whole lot. It's a good gun, has a very smooth trigger, very effective, very efficient. But if you're looking for single stack, you got to look at some other lines. I just want to offer a couple to you just to try because we have them available. And the one would be the Ruger LC9. The one advantage to that is that it's going to be a single stack, and it'll be about two thirds the thickness of the XD that you have. Again, you can look at the specs of the gun. I will tell you that the car is a good shooting gun. Overall size is going to be a little smaller, but I don't know for sure when you say it's difficult for her to carry what the problem is. Is it the thickness? Is it the length of the barrel? What exactly is it that's causing the problem?
It's the thickness and the size of the gun. The XD has got a pretty, it's pretty wide at the top, and even though it's a subcompact and a short barrel, the problem is she likes to wear her clothes tight and she's high-waisted. So the inside the waistband holster puts the butt of the gun up almost up in her armpit. So
right.
Well, one other possibility is moving the holster forward to the appendix carry position. That helps. I know a lot of women have done that, especially if you're short-waisted, because then you don't have as much of the problem of the barrel of the gun sticking into your leg when you sit down. So that's another option.
Right. We've shot some of the guns. We mentioned there that one of the reasons we kind of like the car PM9 and we've shot it is that of the really small single stacks, it doesn't have a unmanageable recoil. Ruger, I know when I've shot it, the gun just about disappears in my hand, and I can hardly hang on to the dang thing.
Well, that is going to be an issue.
My wife is fairly large, yeah. 5'10". So
that is going to be an issue, Mike. But I want to tell you that if you look at the actual specs on both those guns, the XD and the car, you're probably going to find that it's less than a quarter of an inch difference in width, and as far as barrel length, it's going to be nominal. In the actual grip of the gun, even though it's a single stack versus a double stack, you're basically talking just at or slightly smaller than the width of a round, because those rounds don't sit side by side. They're kind of staggered as they go in the magazine. So before you really look at that, probably the best thing to do is think about the option that's most viable for her to carry and consistently carry. And if the purse is the option, I don't think it's going to matter which gun. If carrying it on her body is the option, then she's going to have to make a decision. And the difference in width is going to be nominal, and I don't think that's going to be an issue. I will tell you that women, especially women who like to wear their clothes tight-fitting, it's a lot more difficult than people like Mark or myself or some of the others that who may, we don't mind wearing loose-fitting clothing, and it's easier for us to...
in fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I carry a full-size XDM, and, I'm such a big guy, I hide it.
Okay, well, we've got to take our break at the bottom of the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. And right before the break, Mike called in, and he brought up a very interesting issue that sometimes gets overlooked. I know so much of the time is spent on the show talking about firearm selection. Well, in addition to firearm selection, those of you who choose to carry a gun for personal defense, you're going to have to look at clothing selection. And I sometimes overlook that because, quite frankly, being a big guy, it's not a big deal. Mark and I wear our clothes loose fitting, so we don't have a hard time covering the gun. But different people, both men and women, will come in. That will be a serious issue. I can think of a couple of guys, one of my staff workers, who's a very slender individual, older fella, and he likes to wear his clothing kind of tight fitting to his body, and it's difficult for him to hide the gun, and he's tried some different options. And on the break, Mark and I were just talking about one option, and that's the crossbreed holster. It's one thing that makes it so desirable for people of different shapes and sizes, and the main advantage is that it contours the waistline to make it blend in with your body, and it kind of runs all your clothes together, and it hides the imprint of the gun by distributing the clothing in a broader area as opposed to focusing specifically on the gun. Mark, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, there's some great videos that are listed on the Crossbreed website. You can get to the Crossbreed Holsters website from our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio, and we have a link as they're one of our show sponsors. But there are some videos that they put there. Actually, the person who did those videos, I don't think is even part of Crossbreed. She just did some of her own to show exactly how well she can hide a gun wearing a various different types of clothing. Mostly she's wearing jeans, but she also does it with some other clothes. And she just gives several examples. She does it in a mirror so she can see what she's doing. You can see what she sees. And it's really some great examples of how well she can hide her firearm. I believe she's doing it with a Glock 26, which is fairly similar in size to the XD subcompact that Mike was talking about. So there are some other options. It's just a matter of how you put stuff in a holster. In particular, that one, because it's inside the waistband, it's also inside the clothing, and the natural way that your brain looks when you see the clothing, you say that's the outside of the person, and the fact that the gun is underneath it, it just disappears. I typically wear an inside the waistband holster, and I do that inside even with a tucked shirt, and most people have absolutely no idea that I'm carrying a gun or exactly where it is. People who know me know I must be carrying a gun, but they have no idea exactly where that gun is put, and that's because of the way that your eye gives you this illusion that your brain does that processing and says, well, that's all there is. He's just that size. Now, you know, ladies, if you don't want to look that size, then you're going to have to choose some other option, but frankly, if you take a look at some of these examples, you'll find that you don't have to look big just because there's a gun in there.
That's exactly right. And while we're on the topic, I just want to address one more issue, and that is in addition to clothing selection, I want you to make sure you check your gun, double check it, triple check it, make sure it's empty, and I want you to practice holstering and unholstering. A classic example occurred last week at League where I had a very challenging phase of fire whereby my shooters had only about a second and a half to draw from a holster position and fire two shots at a target that was moving from left to right or right to left in their field of fire. And those who chose to challenge themselves and keep their gun concealed like they carry found that that was extremely challenging. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to those who obviously just for purposes of competition, there's nothing against them doing this. They went ahead and tucked their shirt in behind their gun so they get their gun out faster. But with the people who found what the people who did it the right way did, or the challenging way was, they found is that it was very difficult to do that. And they had difficult getting those two shots off, which is a good thing because now maybe they're going to either practice more and or alter their clothing style, whatever the case might be. The bottom line is I want you to practice with that gun after you've checked it, double checked it, triple checked it. Make sure you can get to the gun because it doesn't do any good having the gun if you can't get to it. Whether your clothes are loose fitting or tight fitting or whatever, you're wearing multiple layers, you've got to practice getting that gun up on target so that it's of value to you once you need it.
And really that applies regardless of how you carry, whether you carry in a holster with retention or you carry in an inside the waistband holster underneath your clothes. If you don't practice with it, if it doesn't become automatic, if you have not trained to the point where you can do it without thinking about it, unconscious competence, then when you really need it, it's not going to be there. Hey, Jeff, let's go back out to the phones and talk to Rob, who's called in. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I understand Governor Casey signed a provision in the law where concealed permit holders can carry into a restaurant that serves alcohol, but I have not been able to find the specifics on that and what exactly it entails. I didn't know if you could elaborate that for me.
Sure, be glad to. The bill that you're talking about is Senate Bill 17, and it did pass at the end of June and was signed on the 30th of June. It goes into effect on the 30th of September. It was registered and filed with the Attorney General's office on the 1st of July, and 30 days is the 30th of September. So that's when that bill will go into effect. Now, what it means is that you will no longer have to disarm to go into a restaurant just because they serve alcohol. You will be required to not consume alcohol yourself. And if they posted, it's like any other private business that posts a sign on the door saying you can't carry in their premises. But if they have not posted a sign that says no carry permitted, then you will be able to go into the restaurant and have a meal. You just won't be able to consume any alcohol while you're there.
Great. You guys gave me the information I needed. thank you for your help.
You're very welcome. There's one other provision that was also passed in that same bill, and it changes the way that car carry happens. So right now there are four ways that you can legally carry your concealed handgun in the motor vehicle. You can carry it in a holster on your person. You can carry it in a closed glove box or console. You can carry it in a closed case that's in plain sight or in a locked case, and that locked case does not have to be in plain sight. And on the 30th of September, all of those restrictions go away, and you can carry those four ways or any other safe way that you would want to carry.
You know, one other thing about that that issue, it's real interesting, and it relates to what I opened the show with when I was talking about there isn't a whole lot of things newsworthy. I like it when there's people who call in the show who are asking about Senate Bill 17 and its status, because that says there's not a whole lot out there in the media, a whole lot of negative stuff. I know there's an opportunity for the anti-gunners to say, oh boy, we're only a month away, we're only 2 months away before they're allowed to carry guns in bars. But I think what they realize is the status quo will be maintained. There's not going to be the issues that some of them would like to think that are going to be problematic or cause problems for bar owners. The good thing about that is bar owners, I think if they maintain the status quo, keep it like it is, no signs up, don't worry about it, let things go, things are going to play out. They're not going to be problems. So that doesn't mean there aren't going to be any problems, because we already know there are some problems in bars, whether or not we have laws restricting firearms in them or not. Matter of fact, over the last year, there have been several incidents with guns in bars, and guns were not allowed in bars under any circumstances and won't be allowed in up until September 30th, yet they still had problems. So that's not going to eliminate problems, but this provision is not going to increase problems in bars. And I think it's good that there isn't a whole lot of publicity. And one of the advantages, or one of the reasons, I should say, there hasn't been a whole lot of publicity is because the pro-gunners know this is a rational, reasonable decision. Mark and I were talking about gun-free zones, making victim zones, basically. By not allowing the guns in the bars, you basically allow bad guys who choose to violate the law anyway to have pretty much prime pickings, and they can do their dirty deeds with no chance of anybody giving them any problems. By switching, kind of changing the tide and allowing guns, at least people with guns who are going to do their evil deeds in bars are going to have to be thinking, well, wait a minute now, there might be someone in here who's going to stand up and do a heroic act and put an end to the nonsense, like has happened around the country in different venues, whether it's sporting events or schools or whatever the case might be. It's been spontaneous acts of ready, willing, and capable citizens that have brought those to resolution. So I think there's a lot of positive ahead of us. The fact that there isn't a whole lot of stuff in the media, you know, for example, Senate Bill 5, it seems like almost every day there's something about Senate Bill 5, and there's lots of issues and there's lots of people directly affected by that, and I don't mean to minimize the impact of that, because I've got my deeply rooted emotional feelings about that too, but that's one thing that's kind of taken a lot of the news stories,
sucking all the oxygen out of the room.
Exactly, but it's a good thing, and it just kind of reaffirms what I said at the beginning. I think things are moving along in a good course, and the anti-gunners are just trying desperately to hold off or just to hold their ground. I think they're losing ground on a regular basis. Their arguments are lame, and the law-abiding citizens, the listeners to our show, the people out there who are doing the responsible thing, are kind of leading the charge, and we're doing it the right way, and we're getting things done through our legislators, and we're having positive results. And I think we just need to continue to burn the torch in that direction.
I'd like to be as upbeat about this as Jeff is, but I suspect as we approach the 30th of September that we'll start to see some of those alarmist stories again appear. And unfortunately, we will not be on the air at that time to refute those stories, because we'll be in our break for Dayton Flyer football. But I would just encourage all of our listeners to be very aware of what they are watching and listening to. Think critically, listen critically, read critically, and then respond. When an author makes a statement that is completely off the wall, is laced with incorrect information, may have no facts at all, is parroting the emotional responses that they got from somebody like the Brady Campaign or the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence, charge them with it. You know, let them say, hey, this is simply not accurate. Here are the facts. And if you would like to get some facts and you don't have them and you would like a resource, you'd be absolutely willing to free to call us. Where you can call us at the range at 293-3914, or you can email us at radio@sim-trainer.com. You can post on our Facebook page, and there's many different ways to get a hold of us. So we'll be more than happy to load your cannons with the ammunition that you need, and then write a respectful response and say, look, this is inaccurate, and you're not doing your readership or your listenership a service when you're inaccurate and you produce information and you make statements and conclusions based on information that is incorrect, because you're creating fear in the people that is absolutely unwarranted. There is not going to be a blood running in the streets or the Old West shootouts, most of which people don't realize never actually happened. So that's the way we win this argument, is with facts, with accurate facts, and by taking apart the arguments and dealing with them instead of emotionally, dealing with them logically and with facts. And that's really the reason why Jeff and I started this show, was because we have seen so much of that. And depends on the story, doesn't even really matter where the source is. It's very common to see stories that don't have the entire information, have maybe a kernel of truth buried in it, and then it's embellished with feeling, and it's embellished with the spin from the anti-gun community, but without the full and honest, revealing of what the truth is and where the lies are behind that spin. Spin is another word for, I'm going to tell you a story I'd rather you believe than the truth.
Exactly right. And one other thing, to just kind of carry that the next step further. Many of you, you're contributing to the economy. You're spending your money. I'm sure you have your favorite restaurants. Query your restaurant owners. Ask them what their intentions are in a roundabout way, very low-key way. You go places. Maybe you've become personally, you've befriended some of these people. Talk to them up front. Educate them. Ask them why they are or are not going to decide one way or the other, and that'll probably have a good result.
Particularly if they already have a sign on the door. I know a lot of restaurants that serve alcohol have a sign on the door already, because they just want to provide a notice for their customers that they do in fact serve alcohol, and that would be a felony for them to come in there. But those signs can come down because they don't add anything, they don't change anything to the law right now, and the sooner they come down, the less notice it'll be when the 30th of September comes around and people can carry. We're taking our last break for the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Give us a call at 457-1290, 457-1290, and here to the studio on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Give us a call at 457-1290 if you'd like to be part of the show. And right now, let's go out to Steve, who's calling from Sydney, who doesn't agree with us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, just had a couple of comments. Number one, one of your advertisers, Crossbreed Holsters.
Yes.
I love them. I carry a full-size 1911 Colt. I'm a bigger guy, but those things I can completely hide in dress clothes, the full-size, no problem. It's absolutely comfortable. Sitting, standing, walking, whatever, it's absolutely great. So I love that.
Thanks. We agree with you, by the way.
I know. What I disagree with you guys on, and I may have misunderstood what you said, is you recommended that people go to local restaurants, maybe they know the owner, and ask them what their intentions are as far as posting once the SB 17 actually goes into effect. I absolutely think that's a terrible idea, guys.
Okay. Give me a rationale on that.
Well, the reason being, if a lot of times, even restaurant owners, and this may sound ridiculous to you, they're clueless. I've talked to some that are like close personal friends. They don't realize that this is all changing. Why not just leave it be and see what happens first before you go get them thinking about, now, wait a minute, I don't want people in here with guns. Even if you try to educate them, a lot of times that's not as easy as it sounds.
And I agree totally with that response. I'm saying that if there are issues, my response there, my comment was, if you have a personal relationship with a restaurant owner who you know personally, and I know several, and I sit down and we talk about these issues. Yeah, I talk about these issues. I think that the status quo as it is right now is going to play out in our favor. I think the majority of them are going to see that nothing's happened, so they're not going to react one way or the other. The unfortunate reality is The unfortunate reality is some of them are governed by policies and procedures by their corporate office, which are very, you talk about, you know, relying on gut reaction versus fact. They're going to just impose the restriction and not pay any attention to facts. So I think the smaller chains where you've got independent owners that maybe can make a decision are going to be better off, whereas the major chains, they might not have any choice. And again,
agreed. I think a lot of times, too, if you guys will notice, big corporations, or big chains rather, don't post in other states, but they do post in Ohio. Those are the ones that maybe we should approach with pretty much a preemptive strike, for lack of a better term.
Right, and that's kind of where I was going there at the end, right before the break, is that there are signs currently posted on many restaurants. I know that there's one in Beaver Creek that I noticed. They have a sign that looks like it actually came from the sheriff's office, but I don't think it did. I don't know, may have. It has a sheriff's badge on it. But the point is that they're telling people that you can't carry here. And the reason they're doing it, I think, is to kind of preemptively tell people, look, we serve alcohol. If you come in here carrying a firearm, that's a felony all by itself. So right. We don't want you to be an unintentional felon. And when they put those signs up, if they currently have signs like that up right now, you have no downside to talking to the management about that.
Sure. Now, the one thing that people need to realize, though, is the signs from, like, the state liquor board that says you may be guilty of a felony, those do not apply to us as concealed carry holders unless they're actually serving alcohol on the premises.
Okay. But a restaurant that serves alcohol is going to have that's the case.
I understand that. I'm just saying, but I've seen people go into places with those signs and raise a big fuss when they don't even apply to us.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm glad you called in to get that clarification, because obviously if you were confused with what I said, other people maybe had the same issue. But I want you to focus on maybe some of the people that you know. I think if we maintain the status quo, leave it alone. I don't know if it's the majority, but I think a lot of them out there are going to be in a position just like you said. Hey, they don't even know what's going on. They don't know about the change. They don't know about anything. They're not going to post a sign. They're not worried about it. And nothing is going to play out to make them be concerned about it. So I think leaving it alone is going to be the best approach.
Well, guys, I appreciate your show. You do a great job, and thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks very much for calling the show. We really appreciate it. There's one issue that I've been wanting to get on the air for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and we're probably not going to have time to cover it anything like thoroughly, but I do want people to be aware of it. There is a bill that's currently pending in the Ohio House, HB 256. The title is Constitutional Carry, and what it really is talking about is being able to carry a concealed handgun without a license. And we will have a link up on the page after I get the show notes up, hopefully by tomorrow afternoon. And a little bit description about that. There's also a link back, if you go back to the July 9th, there is a link on that. There's a great article on the Buckeye Firearms Association website that talks about that bill and what it would do. The main thing is that it would eliminate the need for you to get a license to carry a concealed handgun in order to carry a handgun legally. It's not the only thing about that. I mean, you would still be able to, you'd still have to get training. The whole story is, you know, that's the reason I have an argument a little bit with calling it constitutional carry. But you would have to be qualified for a license, which means you have to go through a training class that meets the Ohio qualifications for it. I'm not sure that's a bad thing, although personally, I don't think it should be a requirement. But on the other hand, there's certainly tremendous benefit to getting people an understanding of what the law is and to make sure that they are functionally qualified with carrying a handgun. We'll talk more about this if we get another chance between now and the first week in September. But I want you to be aware of that bill. Your legislators will be coming back into the areas very soon, and you can let them know what you think about that. Thanks very much for listening to the show. Stay tuned for There Is a Season with Bob and Gloria. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.